Hello, good evening.
How was your trip?
Baruch Hashem.
So I sent you an email about the difference between criticism and cursing.
I remember seeing that while I was in Israel. Criticism is certainly within the realm of the acceptable. We live with criticism. Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't want to ever give a shiur where you don't criticize me. Remember, he complained that when Rish Lakish used to sit in my shiur, every time I said something, he would say, "What? What are you talking about? There's a brisa that says this, this, and that. Really? How does that fit with the Mishnah?" And when I give shiur now, all I get from you guys is, "Oh yeah, what you're saying now, that's a brisa here, and that's a Mishnah there, and that's that fits this, this." I don't want that. I want you to disagree with me, right? So as long as it's done respectfully, but sometimes you see the way Rashbam writes about Rashi, right? Or the way the Torah mentions the Rosh. And these were their like grandparents and their father, you know. It was like they're like harsh, but that's the way I remember learning with my grandfather, and he wanted us to say things like, "What kind of svara is that?" Ugh. You know. So that was just part of the give and take in the Beis Medrash. So if a you see, there's a Yerushalmi in Horios that discusses this. It says that if the Nasi tells you your right hand is your left hand, right? So Yerushalmi says in Horios, don't listen. Because you know it's your right hand, you know it's your left hand. But the Sifrei on the Pasuk, Lo Yitasur Yaminu Smol, don't go right or left against the official response, the head of the Sanhedrin. So there, the Sifrei says, if he tells you your right hand is your left and your left hand is your right, you should listen. I mean, what's going on here? It's mamash, an exact contradiction. Yerushalmi says mamash fakert, right? So which is which? Now the Sifrei is a Tanaic source. The Yerushalmi is an Amoraic source, but still it derives its message from the same pasuk. So what is it? So I would David Tzvi Hoffman in his Perush to the Pasuk and Devarim points to this flagrant contradiction. And he says that the difference is your assuredness. Now, again, this could be relative. I'm pretty clear about what hand I should put on tefillin tomorrow morning. Right? But and I'm pretty sure about certain things. But some other things, some people are, oh my goodness, I always thought that that's the way this was. And then you find out that maybe not. Right?
Right, but that just, but he has, does that mean it's in halacha context? It's not like he just says it's your left hand and just stop.
Yeah, and has to be some kind of halachic context to it. If the head of the Sanhedrin would tell me I should stop putting my tefillin on my other hand, I would question what is the expertise of this particular Sanhedrin?
Well, he might say, "Look, I observed, your for whatever reason your left arm is atrophying."
Right, so they didn't have to mevatel our judgment to their judgment.
Probably that's not what we do.
Sure.
Isn't that the whole story with, can't remember, but his calculation of Yom Kippur and
Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Gamliel effectively agreed with Rabbi Yehoshua. It's Rabbi Harkinus in the Gemara was in the Mishnah, the one, and Rabbi Yehoshua only said, "I agree with him." That basically, if the moon is in the sky and many people saw it, but the Beis Din didn't have a chance to say Mekudosh, all right, it doesn't matter. But Rabbi Gamliel said, yeah, but the way you want it, Yom Kippur is going to fall on a Friday, and we can't have Yom Kippur fall on Friday. So we wanted to like delay the announcement. So that Yom Kippur will be pushed off a day and fall on Shabbos, right? So we wouldn't have to have like 2 days in a row, like Yom Kippur next to Shabbos, and that's how our calendar is set up so that doesn't happen. So, but Rabbi Gamliel taught, and Rabbi Akiva fortified it to Rabbi Yoshua when he convinced him to go and eat on the Friday that he thought. He said that, you know, in this particular case, it's in the hands of the Beis Din. If the Beis Din does not pronounce Rosh Chodesh, it's not Rosh Chodesh. Now, what if Rabbi Yoshua had refused to come? What if he had refused to come and he insisted on keeping Yom Kippur the way he had it?
You can't have that. I mean, you have to put him in Cherem.
So this I submit to you has a strong contrast with his Bar Plukta. Right? His Bar Plukta, Rabbi Eliezer, is usually considered the more erudite of the two, the one with the Mesorah, the one that's always correct. But he was not Mavir al Hamidosav. Right? Gemara in Tainus explaining why Rabbi Akiva was answered, but Rabbi Eliezer wasn't.
Right. Right. You can't have two Klal Yisrael being split. Some people would follow it.
And the more famous Gemara that's obviously pointed to this discussion is the Gemara in Bava Metzia, where Rabbi Eliezer refused to back off of his position regarding Tanur Shalachnai.
Right.
And it was even a bas kol, a heavenly voice came down and said that Rabbi Eliezer was always right. He has a Mesorah that he's always correct. But Rabbi Yeshua was the one who sent that heavenly voice back up to the heavens where it came from. So it's perfectly consistent within the framework of what we know about Rabbi Yeshua that he would back off and follow the Nasi's directive, as we see that's a mission in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Okay, but criticism, Adraba, that's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says Minayin, that if a Talmud sitting in front of the head of Sanhedrin has a notion in his mind that the head of the Sanhedrin is saying something wrong, that he's not allowed to remain silent. He may be a little nervous and say, can I speak up? Can I, who had the temerity to speak up, when Rav Soloveitchik, or I remember Rav Yerucham Gorelick, if you thought they were saying something untoward, you better be very clear and be right with your question.
Yeah, but you could go up after Shear and say, be more respectfully, instead of in front of the whole class.
Mm-hmm. So I hope that gets to the core of your question. So this is what the Sefer HaChinuch does. He takes the pasuk, we did the first two mitzvahs, 69 and 70. It says, Elohim or Elohim lo sikalel, right? Do not curse an Elohim, meaning a judge, or Elohim, meaning a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'nasi ba'amcha lo ta'or. Nasi ba'amcha means that he's behaving properly amongst your people. Now, who is this Nasi? Because in Sefer Yecheskel, he has a parable about a Nasi. That Nasi is Tzidkiyahu, king. Right? So we'll see right away in the Sefer HaChinuch, in the Minchas Chinuch, I sent out just one page. The Minchas Chinuch starts to question, what is the nature of this Nasi? And when the word Nasi appears elsewhere in the Torah, is that going to be consistent with the Nasi here? Okay. Because the Sefer HaChinuch starts off by saying the following. The Sefer HaChinuch, not the Menchas Chinuch. Let's look in the middle. It says, mitzvah number 71, Shelo L'Kalel HaNasi. Shelo L'Kalel Es HaNasi Shne'emar, the nasi ba'amcha lo ta'or. U'ba'aperush ha'nasi zeh ha'melech. Okay, on traditional perush. Okay. Is that the nasi of our pasuk is talking about the king. V'amnam zeh lav kolel kemochein ha'nasi shebi Yisrael. V'hu rosh sanhedri gedola shnekra nasi gam kein. And the Sefer HaChinuch says that the Nasi also here includes the head of the Sanhedrin. Lefisha Kavonas Hakasuv Lahasirenu Al Kol Mi Shehu Rosh Shirara Yisrael Bein Mimshelas Malchus Bein Mimshelas Torah. Whether you rule over, you preside over, I should say, over a yeshiva as the head of the Sanhedrin. Some say that would include the chief rabbis. You know, Ashkenazi can sit as far.
That's really been dishonored in the breach.
Mm-hmm. You know, it has to be ba'amcha. Okay, now take a look at the Minchas Chinuch now. Okay. Ayin Rambam, Perek Chavav, Misanhedrin, Halacha Aleph. Uvakesef Mishnah Kosav. The Rambam Lamad Ze Midi Isab and Meseches Horios, Yud Amad Aleph. Eze Nosi Ze HaMelech. Okay. Rambam is consistent with the beginning of this Halacha. Shnemar, in Vayikra Perek Dalid, Pasuk Chav Beis, right? Vayikra Dalid Chav Beis, the Torah also mentions a Nasi. So we'll have to see, is that reference consistent with our understanding of our pasuk? It says, Asher nosi yecheta, v'yasa achas mikol mitzvos Hashem alukav, asher alotesene b'shkogah v'ashem. That the nosi brings a special korban when he sins. Is that talking about the melech? Right? It's talking about any Rosh Shrara al Yisrael, anyone who has a position of leadership in Israel. Would that include, let's say, the president of the RCA? Would that include the president of the Aguda? Right? Let's read the words of the Chinuch again. I'll call me Shehu Rosh Shrara al Yisrael, Bein Memshelas Machos, Bein Memshelas Torah.
But wouldn't that be at least the majority of the whole of Israel? Of all Jewish people? Not.
Right, so that's why he says it has to represent, it has to be some kind of representation of a large, of a row of Israel.
Right, so I mean, maybe the president of the state of Israel, often.
So we see there are lots of tshuvas on this amongst the Achronim. Rav Moshe Feinstein in the tshuva suggests that it even includes the Rosh Memshala of Israel. You know, Israel has a prime minister and also has a president. But one is largely ceremonial.
Right.
Okay, let's get back to the Sefer HaChinuch. And he wonders, is it true that the Nasi that's treated in the beginning of Vayikra is Dalet Chafez, and it says, She'ein al gabav ela Hashem elokav. What Nasi are we talking about in that Pasuk? It must be the Melech. Because it says in the Pasuk, I'll read it again, here Dalet Pasuk Chafez, Asher nosi yecheta v'asa achas mikol mitzvos Hashem elokav, asher lo te'asenu b'shkaga ve'oshem. Okay. The Gemara makes a drasha out of this. It refers to the nasi over whom God reigns. And the Gemara makes a drash that it must be someone who only has God above him. No one's above him, not the Kohen Gadol, not any other Kohen, right? Not any other person. And that can only be the Melech. So maybe our guy is only the Melech.
But isn't he subject to the rule of the Sanhedrin?
Yes. Yeah. Like anybody else. Okay, but then the Chinuch turns and he says, "V'davka hasam, the kasuv came. Aminan davka melech. Aval hocha, our pasuk is not limited to the king. The loksiv, lav davka, Elahu adin rosha Sanhedrin. There you go. Like the Chinuch said, like the Rambam said. Because while Perek Dalet Pasuk Tov Beis of Vayikra is limited to the Melech, our Pasuk is not. Right? Refers to the Rosh Sanhedrin. Ad Kan Lashon, that's the end of the Rambam. V'hinei eni yodea menole, d'davka Rosh Sanhedrin, ha'mavur ha'sam, tefil aleph from the bay, amad aleph, that's in the Seches Harios, Turner Bana Nasi, Yachol Nasi Shevet, Kigon Nachshem Alaminadav, Tamud Lamar, Hashem Alokav, She'en Al Gabav, Ela Hakadosh Baruch Hu Batzma. Right? He's saying that this Nasi in our Pasuk, right? He's entertaining this thought now. We'll see that the broad array of poskim consider that the nasi of our pasuk nasivam cha'al lo ta'or, right, can refer to any shrara, head of the Sanhedrin, the head of a large organization. Of course, we have to discuss what is the parameter. Does it have to be an organization supporting the majority of B'nai Israel? Okay. All right, so this number one, the Sefer Chinuch just pursues the idea that whenever the Torah mentions the Nasi, whether it's talking about only the king, only the head, or then the head of the Sanhedrin. Okay, let's take a look at number three. Okay. The question here is, can the same word mean two different things? Right? I mean, if Nasi means the king in Maseches Horias Daf Yud, why should it mean anything but the king in our pasuk? So the answer is, it's up to Chazal. Right? Doesn't the third parak in Maseches Brachas begin, Misha Mesa Muta Lefanav Potur Mikriyat Shema? What does Potur there mean? Not that he's just exempt from Kriyat Shema. Exempt from Kriyat Shema implies that if he wants to, he can say it. Potur Mikriyat Shema by an onein is he can't say Kriyat Shema. Not allowed to. Now the very next Mishnah says, Anoshim Ktanim Meshotim Pturim Mikriyat Shema. Is anyone in his right mind going to say that the word Pturim by an onein is the same meaning as the word Pturim by women? Of course, if a woman wants to say Kriyat Shema, she can. She's exhorted to do so. Okay, so we see in the first Mishnah, Pater means exempt but can't daven. In the next Mishnah, Pater means that exempt to the point of not being punished if she doesn't, but of course she can if she wants to. She's exhorted to do so. Okay.
Couldn't there also be some sensitivity to language that the Chazal didn't want to say something like us or the girl Kriyashma, but it just doesn't sound appropriate. So it sounds like it's not quite a euphemism, but.
Yeah, it sounds right. Sounds right to say us or to say Kriyashma. Who could ever think of such a thing?
Yeah, it's like it just doesn't,
I want the words to appear in a Mishnah.
Right, exactly.
All right, but we see even in the Torah, listen to this pasuk, says that in Devarim, when you bring the Korban Pesach, lo tochal olav chametz, right? What does it mean? Lo tochal olav chametz. Don't eat chametz with the Korban Pesach. Lo tochal olav chametz. Then the pasuk continues, shivas yamim tochal olav matzos. Surely the olav in the second half of the pasuk can't mean the same as the word olav in the beginning. Right? It says, v'zavachta pesach tzon v'akar, lo tochal olav chametz, shivas yamim tochal olav matzos. It can't mean 7 days eat together with it matzos. You can't eat the carbon pesach past the first day. Okay. Now, the Sefer HaChinuch wants to posit that between Siman Ayin Tes, Samach Tes and Ayin Aleph, that Samach Tes and Ayin Aleph share the same dinim, but Ayin does not. Because Samach Tes talks about L'Tekalel Elohim, not curse the judge, not just the head of the Sanhedrin, any judge. So when it says here, lo lekalel nasi, nasi b'mchal d'or, so it's a similar halachos, both humans. But the Chinuch says that the law in the middle, number 70, right, not to curse the nasi, not to curse the lokim, meaning God, right, has some different dinim. Okay. Now, the fact is, as number 4 points out, the kilel nasi chayav shalosh malkios. Someone who curses the nasi has 3 malkos. Why? Mishum elokim, mishum venasi, mishum, now this is a different pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, lo tikalel cheirish. Right? Because simultaneously, while he curses this one judge, there's all kinds of Isser Mosif, right? And Isser Kolel, right? Lo tikalel cheirish is the Torah's way of saying you shall curse nobody. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to the middle one, not blessing God, it's very, very complicated. We did it, you know, we saw inside a little bit too, last time. Very complicated laws of how to bless God. Right? And there's a person in Parshas Emor who gets killed for doing so. Right. Sorry, Chevra, I'm starting to succumb to my fatigue. But let me finish this Indian. Is that when it comes to cursing, to let's say to blessing Hashem, right? The blessing has to come from, it's counterintuitive, not from you. It has to be that you call upon one of the names from which God is known: Hashem, Elokeinu, Elokim, Tzvakosh, Shendalad Yud. Right, that one of the names from which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is known, that you call upon that name to bless God. That's not a standard for this. Right? You might have thought the exact opposite, counterintuitive. When it comes to blessing God, there's the very low threshold. Any way you bless God, you get the death penalty. But when it comes to cursing a human being, there has to maybe a very specific way to do it. No, it's the opposite. Okay, I don't have to call upon the name of God to curse the judge to be chayav. Plus, it doesn't carry the death penalty. It carries malchus. All right, newsflash. There's malchus for cursing anybody in Israel. Okay. Gemara darshins it out of a drasha lo tekalel cheresh. Don't curse someone who's deaf. What's the havamina? Because you think you can get away with it because he's deaf. Deaf may be a metaphor.
Yeah, I mean, you could curse somebody who's in front of you, and it's the same thing as if you were deaf. He's not hearing it.
The Chinuch says that this is a mitzvah bin adam l'chavero, but there's also, of course, a piece of bin adam l'makom. If you're calling in God to, you know, who are you to try to harness the forces of God to serve your illegitimate purposes in cursing somebody? Right? Finally, and if it's okay with you, if I just have a truncated meeting tonight, the last thing that the Chinuch discusses here is that the person who is the object of your curse has to be someone who has a minui. Minui. He was appointed. He didn't appoint himself to do this. See, it says, Dafka im nismane, the kosher min haTorah leminui hazeh. So there are a lot of different opinions about what is this minui. Right? There's some things that some people, some Jews are not worthy of for minui. Minui means like an official appointment, like there's an election, a vote. And the community officially votes this person in. For that, it's possible that midrabanan, maybe here we're talking maybe the rice and punishments of malchus, but it's very possible that midrabanan, anybody who has an official minui could be like a community election. Right? But so he has to be the Yoshev Rosh, it has to be like the president of Yeshiva University or something like that. Like, president of the RCA would be included. These are drabanans that we should be careful, because when we disparage such a person over lunch, look, we're not allowed to disparage anyone over lunch, but when we take a public figure and we rake that person over the coals in a way that is not untoward. Now, that being said, there could be some nasi like Achav or King Achav who deserves to be disparaged because of things he does, right? I'm sure the disparager is going to find that why he's doing that. No, you do have cover the Rav, but listen to what this guy's doing, right? So Midrabanan, the poskim admit that when there is and the reasoning is that it wears down the fabric of the necessary respect that we need to have for our institutions and its leaders when we disparage them publicly this way. Right? That's what we mean by the Nasiva Amcha Lo Ta'or. Okay, but he has to behave like Ba'amcha. Okay. That's based on the Sifrei, which the Rambam quotes. Which shuls often cite, especially in the Young Israeli movement amongst the modern Orthodox, that a woman should not be the president of a shul. Because the president of a shul requires minui. She could be a vice president, she could be a treasurer, she could be a secretary, she could be the recorder or whatever else, officers, but she shouldn't be the president, because that requires som tosim malecha melech, melech v'lo malka. Right? It's a Sifrei, and the Rambam cites it. This Rambam is the one that everyone quotes. Question is, do other Rishonim have a different approach? But that's what we mean here. Number seven is where the Chinuch says that the Nasi in question is someone who had a minui to be appointed for that. Chevra, I'm so sorry, but I think I...
No, please don't apologize.
I very much look forward to this learning, these Monday night learnings. Next Monday I have a wedding, and the Monday after is Shavuos, so we have to catch up. Okay, but
feel better.
However, I'm inclined next year to do the I have a minchas chinuch on mitzvos to Rabbanan. The reason why I'm inclined to do that is that each one of those mitzvahs, is about 20, 25 of them, are very nogeya to things we're doing all the time. But when you go through the Sefer Chinuch, you know, sometimes you can go 6, 7 mitzvahs in a row. It's good theory, but they're not practical. You know, they're not, how many of us are cursing the Nasi? Who is the Nasi? But I tried to give at the end of this presentation here some practical examples of what, you know, what halachically fulfills the definition of nasi for this, at least midrabanan. Okay, all right, Chevra. I wish everybody a good night.
Sleep well.
Be well, Chevra. Thank you. I'm going to fall asleep before I get out of the room. Okay, all right. Bye-bye.